It's Andy. I'm Jeff. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan. Hoynes, he expected to join us. He's in New York. I believe he's in New York, covering the Guardians beating up those high-payroll New York Mets.
That makes you feel really good, doesn't it?
No, I just say it to irritate Dan.
Ah. Dan, does money equal championships?
No.
Okay.
There you go. See?
But money makes winning championships a smidge easier.
I see. That's a valid point right there.
I agree.
Again, I will say until the end, my problem with the Guardians is the fact that they should spend a little bit more than they currently do. I'm not saying you need to be the Mets. I'm not saying you need to be the Dodgers. But boy, oh boy, it'd be pretty nice if you could go out there and find somebody who wasn't a developmental hitter.
You know what? I can't argue with that. And I can't argue with spending a little more money. But I also know, and you know, that just spending the money doesn't necessarily, I mean, it's still a guy in the batter's box.
True.
You improve your chances and everything else. But it was, I thought it was a stunning comment from Tom Hamilton last night when he said, Brandon Nemo, Francisco Lindor, Juan Soto, top three hitters in the Mets lineup, making more money total than the Guardians' entire payroll.
What does that make you think? I agree. I don't think the Guardians have to spend.
They don't have to
be number one through nine, but man, it'd be nice to see them just be in the middle of the pack. And at least they're not. Remember, they were on the bottom.
I can't agree with you more. I do agree with that. But I also would rather have this. I would rather have a really smart, good front office and management team than a really rich owner who has hired not a very good front office. You know?
Yeah, I'll buy that.
I'd rather have people who really know what they're doing, and I believe the people who run this organization do know what they're doing, and that's a good thing. Last night, 7-6 final in 10 innings, and man, it was one of those games where you just thought, oh no, really?
I'll be honest, I never thought they were going to lose, even when they were.
Really? They had a 5-0 lead.
Yeah, they had the 5-0, even when it was 5-5, and it felt like the Mets were right on the edge of taking a control late in the game. I just was like, just give me one more pitch here. I'm hanging with these guys. I'm hanging. They're making it fun. There's no question about this. That, you know, they're 2.5 back now on the Mariners for that last wild card spot. They're only a game. I mean, they could be tied with the Rangers at the end of the night for the spot outside of the Mariners. So, and I'm just trying to think, if the Mariners lose tonight, we're a game and a half back if the Mariners lose tonight.
Well, last night, Stephen Vogt, you know, used what he has at his disposal.
Although they're playing the White Sox.
And, you know, you had some guys step up and do some really good things. And, you know, you look at the Mets lineup. Nemo's a good player. Lindor is hitting only .253, and he's not putting up the numbers he usually does, but we know Francisco's a terrific player. Juan Soto, big-time player, not having a great year, hitting .250. Pete Alonso, I mean, these are big-name guys. But the Guardians put up 5 runs in the sixth inning last night. It was in the sixth, and then Slade Ciccone made one really bad pitch to Pete Alonso, and they made it 5-3. But if you take a look at what the Guardians are doing, Andy, I give, and even though some of the stuff drives me nuts, I can't stand the constant platooning and everything else. Stephen Vogt has said, this is what we're going to do. We have two guys who play every day, and we play all of our position guys. Why do they do that? Because they don't have more than two guys who should be playing every day. Unfortunately, that's the reality of the situation. You know, if he did, and you could make the argument that he might have 4 or 5, but he said, Juan, Jose, they're going to be out there every day. Other than that, Angel Martinez, Daniel Schneeman's been really hot. Daniel didn't play yesterday.
Well, they put him in late.
I know, but one thing Vogt said last week was, you know, hey, a guy might get 3 hits the game before, but then he's not playing the next game because that's the way we do it. Well, guess what? Schneeman had 6 hits in his previous 9 at-bats and didn't start last night.
And he looked fantastic at the plate over the weekend. I agree.
I know.
Although when they did go to pinch hit him last night, I was like, okay, I have some confidence in what they're about to do here. And then what happened? He struck out.
I get it, and I understand the splits and, you know, lefty-righty and all that stuff. But I also understand when a guy's swinging a good bat, man, you don't take him out of the lineup.
It's like Manzardo. You know, they put Manzardo in last night in a pressure situation. And, you know, he's coming off the bench cold.
I mean, you shouldn't cool off your own guy, should you? Seriously.
Everybody's a platoon player.
You shouldn't cool off your own guy. And, hey, Daniel, nice job. Six hits in your last nine at bat. Sit down. Ah! It drives me nuts, but it's the way that they do business here. And, okay, they're knocking on the wild card door, and they're giving it their best. So we'll see. I give Gabriel Arias a lot of credit last night. Man, they needed nice a big night. Hit, and he had a big hit. I mean, that was just like a big-time swing. And I think this season is leaving the team with as many questions, Andy, as it's giving them answers. For instance, and what I mean by that is this. Do you think Brian Rocchio is your everyday shortstop?
I kind of wish I could say that, but I can't. No. Or second baseman.
I agree. Is Gabe Arias your everyday shortstop or second baseman? I think it's the same thing as Rocchio.
Yeah, if he can drive in four runs a game, he can be my
starter. I don't think that's happening. Yeah. I think that's, you know, it's like, well, it's your middle infield. And you're playing these two guys, and you still don't know. Is Angel Martinez your starting center fielder long term? I think the answer is, I don't know.
I don't know. And then again, you ask yourself, great teams have consistent what? Through the middle, right?
Defense.
Through the middle. Catcher, short, second, center.
And you have three guys there who you still don't know for sure.
No, I mean, at least they've you know.
Is David Fry your long-term DH? I don't know. I mean, think about it. Right field. Who's your right fielder?
I'll wait.
Had that answer since Manny Ramirez.
I know, but add it to the position list. Who's your catcher? Is Bo Naylor your everyday catcher, or are you still looking for a catcher next
year? They're trying to give him every opportunity right now.
And
right?
I'm glad of that because I like Bo. And I think he could become pretty good. I think his bat is better than he has shown this year. But that's – and then who's your first baseman moving forward? Is it Kyle Manzardo? We assume yes, but – so catcher, first base, second base, shortstop, center field, right field. That's six of your eight positions that you don't know who your guy is. Man, that's a rough – I mean, if you think about that, you don't have, and I say first base long term, this year you have a regular first baseman. It's Carlos Santana. So you have three regulars, okay? And you have five positions that you're juggling.
If you're Santana, don't you want to stick around for another year? I would try to if I was him.
If I want to make money and if I
didn't trade him this year.
I still enjoy playing.
Boy, he saved Arias' rear end on that.
He sure did, didn't he?
Oh, he did, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good that Arias was able to bobble it and contain it and throw it over there, but boy, I don't think Carlos Santana could have split any farther. I mean, the only person who could get splits farther than that might have been Simone Biles.
But she's not that tall. Carlos is clearly a professional baseball player. He's good, but he's not long-term. We know that because of age, and I wonder if he's back next year, and if not, is Manzardo ready to go defensively? It's just there are so many questions position player-wise that haven't been answered this year, and that to me is disappointing.
I don't.
Guys haven't stepped up, Andy. That's the thing.
So what happens? Let's say they keep just playing this way, right? And they keep winning.
And they're winning. You can't say they're winning.
Then they Forrest Gump their way into the playoffs.
Well, they're treading water. Is what I think they're doing. You know, they've been around 500.
I still think keeping Kwan last week was just a bolt of energy for that clubhouse. It's so weird because normally you would look around and say, we picked up this guy. Man, the front office must believe in us, the guys that are still in this clubhouse, and we're going to go out and win. Rather than nothing was better than anything else they could have done by hanging on to Kwan, watching Kwan come back into the clubhouse and guys going, okay, they're going to give us a chance to make the playoffs and do whatever we can. It's a weird spot to be in because they didn't add, they subtracted. And yet, I think they gave the clubhouse a boost by just keeping Kwan. Did they give the fan base a boost? That's another question, because there were pretty good attendance, sold out again on Saturday. Did keeping Kwan keep you vested in this team for the next couple weeks, especially knowing that the teams that are ahead of you, what, Seattle, in Texas, that you play them and you end the season with Texas? You still have six more games against Texas. You have three more games. The end of the month is going to be interesting, because rather than looking at it as the old traditional, I'm going to look at the AL Central and see if they can pick up these eight games on Detroit. Forget about that. Now what you want to do is look at those teams. Kansas City's the other one who's right behind us, that you want to make sure that you're looking at those other two, Texas, and to try to figure out if you can get by Texas and Seattle to get the spot. And the Yankees aren't that much farther ahead either. What if the Yankees fall apart? That would make me super happy.
See, they're one hot streak away, Andy, from being firmly in wild card position. Now, can they do it? You know, it clearly looks like a 500 baseball team to me. I think it looks like one to you, because it doesn't hit with regularity. And last
night, yet they're winning. Since that 10-game losing streak, they're winning.
Well, they're playing well. But
what is it, 16-21?
Right, but before the 10-game losing streak, they were winning. So it's the consistency of things, and they've been much better since the losing streak. Well, that's good, because they needed to be to get back to 500, and that's where they are right now, two games over 500. That's all okay. It really is. And if they can get one hot streak here down the stretch at the right time, then maybe they can put themselves in a position to be in the wild card and then see what happens. You know, is their pitching good enough? I don't know. Last night, Hunter Gaddis wasn't very good, but I think overall he's been more than solid this year. Not as good as he was last year, but more than solid. One thing watching last night's game put a thought in my head that I don't like very much. And unless Hoynsey happens to pick up his phone, we're going to talk about it next. And that thought is this. Andy, are you sitting?
Let me check. Yes.
Menigan was right.
About what?
Next on Baskin and Phelps.